I mean, at this point, he's still a young guy. He's so athletic.
He's a special charts.
And for me, like I said, he's the number one guy I want to see live.
Yeah.
Because I've been lucky enough to see LeBron and Steph and Kevin Durant. Here's ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. Where would Zion rank for you, Brian, in terms of guys you're dying to see live?
You know, normally when you see rookies on the court, they stick out because they're so small. It's one of the things that you really, especially guys who do one and done. Like, I remember when Lonzo Ball, who I watched live in college, I was at his first preseason game with the Lakers, and it was like he was a string bean out there. You know, even big men, they come into the NBA and they look out of sorts with their size when they move up to playing with men for the first time in their lives. I'm watching Zion last night, and he jumps off, like, as you're just watching the game, he explodes off the screen. He looks like nobody I've ever seen. I've never seen a man like that on an NBA court. Even LeBron, who the reason he was so successful, one of the big reasons he was so successful right away in the NBA was because he was 6'8", 240 as a 19-year-old, and he could come in and he physically could compete every single night. Zion is the most physically dominant guy on the court. He's going to be the most physically dominant guy on the court, like, almost all the time. And he just exploded to my eye last night. Of course, I'd seen him play at Duke. But when you see him actually in the NBA, I was like, wow, look at him. You can't stop watching him.
Brian, what do you think the course of action is going forward? Limited minutes last night. How long? I mean, the player's going to get frustrated and say, I want to play more. What do you think the game plan is for the organization when they finally say, okay, go ahead and do whatever you want out there?
I mean, we can listen to experts. They can show us test results. They can show us charts. They can show us everything. No one's ever seen anything like him. I've been told that when they did testing on him, like where they put him on these plates and test force and everything like that, that there was no way to compare him to anything. He is absolutely one of one. He's completely off the charts. So, I mean, they can come up with whatever plan they want. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with this guy. And that's one of the reasons why he's so scary, because you're just scared that his body, because of its incredible size, isn't built. I mean, I don't even know if courts are built to handle this guy coming down with this kind of force. I mean, like when Shaq came into the NBA, the basket standards literally weren't designed for him. He broke five or six of them before they found a design that could take him. Here's a guy who's even more athletic than Shaq, who, you know, and is even more powerful than Shaq, and almost the same weight, you know, just a few pounds lighter, really. I have no idea. I mean, they're going to try their best. I don't think they have any idea. I think they're just going to try to see how it goes.
We have Brian Windhorst of ESPN. So Masai Ujiri was speaking to the media up here a couple of days ago, and when asked about, you know, what he's going to do or what his team's going to do to try to repeat as champions, he said, we're going to die trying. And he pumped the tires of his players, and it's certainly worthy of it, because they have exceeded every expectation. Even if they were fully healthy all year, I'm not sure people saw them where they're at. Then you throw in all the injury issues they've had. For them to be second, third place in the East is truly a remarkable feat for them. But we all have our own interpretation what that means. Does that mean Masai is going to go all in again? Does that mean everything's on the table for them to potentially bring more pieces in? What's your interpretation of Masai saying they're going to die trying to win another championship?
Yeah, but here's what I'd say. Go all in for what? There's just not the market. There's no market. There's no players there.
Derrick
there's
Rose.
No. I mean,
he's been talked about as one of the guys
available.
I know. But
he's available.
I mean, this is the exact problem, guys. Detroit Pistons are three games out of the playoffs. Now, I know you may say, well, big deal, you're going to make the eighth seed. Well, that is a big deal in Detroit. So if you're going to trade Derrick Rose, you're probably going to give that up. Are they going to give that up? I don't know. You know, and if you trade for Derrick Rose so that he can come back up Kyle Lowry, you know, take minutes away from Fred VanVleet. I don't see the player. Like, you know, if Drew Holiday was actually available, now that's a player that I would go into my coffers to try to get my hands on. But there, guys, you know, the market's just not there. I mean, you know, does Kevin Love help them? I don't think so. I mean,
no.
You could get Kevin Love, but that's the thing. You know, I talk to people who are interested in, you know, what can the Miami Heat do? What can the Denver Nuggets do? There's the market is just not there for them to I'm not ruling out that the Raptors don't do something, but I don't see the impactful move that exists for any team in the league right now.
You mentioned Van Fleet. How do you think that saga plays out? He's a fan favorite. He's dialed in right now. He must be his agent. Everyone involved with his camp must be loving that situation.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing for him is that he's going to be unrestricted free agent. So he doesn't have to wait on the Raptors. But the market is, there's not that much, there's not that many teams that can pay him. You know, there's only going to be three or four teams that have salary cap space. It would not surprise me after what's happened with China that the salary cap doesn't even come in as high as they thought it was. They're projecting a $7 million increase. Would not surprise me if that comes in lower than that. And so it's not a good year to be a free agent. Now, the teams that do have space, I think, would be interested in him because he's a younger guy and he's a guard. But I think ultimately it's just a matter of negotiating the type of contract he can get out of Toronto. And considering that Kyle Lowry is, you know, his days in Toronto one way or another are going to be limited. He's on the back nine of his career. I think it just makes sense to pay him. And I think that's probably what they're going to do. It's just going to be a haggling over the amount.
Yeah, I can't picture them losing out on VanVleet. Like, everything I've heard, he loves it here. He should love it here. He was an undrafted player. They gave him the opportunity. They've groomed him. They give him a lot of minutes. He's a big part of their program. Like you said, with Kyle stepping aside in a year, if not less than that, the door's wide open for him to step through.
Sometimes, Brian, though, that guy that was passed over, he's got a chip on his shoulder and says, you know what? You give me a chance to get the UFA and really show everybody. They have that in their mindset.
I hear you, man. And he's bet on himself. Like, yeah. That's a big part of his mantra.
But again, it's one of those things, like, to go to Memphis and play next to Ja, to go to Cleveland.
That's what he's got to figure out.
To go to Chicago. Like, I mean, if the Raptors are willing to pay, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't just re-sign.
With Brian Windhorst from ESPN. So, LeBron and the Lakers were in New York last night, and in one of the more desperate fashions ever post-game, one of the media members down in New York was like, if your son gets drafted by the Knicks, would you be willing to play here? And LeBron responded by saying, he's in the ninth grade. Like, he's not even close to entertaining that. But that has been a conversation for a while, this idea that LeBron wants to hang around and wants to play with his kid, and his kid's going to get there. He's still got to develop, I guess, but feels like he's trending towards an NBA career. You know LeBron well. How do you see that transaction working? If and when his kid gets to the NBA, is LeBron going to set himself up to play beside him?
You know, in 5 years, LeBron's max will probably be around $50 million. 50, 52 million, depending on how the cap goes. I'm sure he'd like to take, he'll play for $52 million when he's 40.
Right.
Sure. He'll do, you know, especially on a multi-year deal. Come on, New York, let's commit to it now.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched Bronny play. I've gone out to Sierra Canyon and watched him. If anybody can tell me what kind of player he's going to be in 3 years, I'd like to congratulate them and we can talk about the stock market because he's a very dedicated young man. I mean, he's in terrific physical condition. He's definitely worked very hard. He has obviously amazing genes, amazing coaching. He's in a school that will definitely prepare him. But how can I possibly know whether he's going to be any NBA player, much less the type of NBA player who could either go right to the NBA or go one and done? So now you're talking about 4 or 5 years, LeBron 35. It's kind of a laughable conversation, in all honesty. Yes, LeBron absolutely would love to do it. You know, the guy who he is his sort of godfather is Lynn Merritt from Nike. And Lynn Merritt's job before he managed LeBron James for Nike was managing Ken Griffey Jr. And so LeBron got to know Ken Griffey Jr. 15, 18 years ago. And the idea of being like Ken Griffey and playing either in the same league as his son or on the same team as his son would be amazing, but it's just that it's beyond a theoretical conversation.
I would say more likely scenario, LeBron owns a team and Bronny plays on LeBron's team.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Because, you know, LeBron is not known as being very forthcoming when it comes to spending his money other than in charity, so that would be an interesting contract negotiation.
Yeah, no kidding. Imagine he squeezes his own kid. I just can't give you that option.
Michael Jordan would. If you watch the way Michael Jordan operates, he would squeeze his own time.
Absolutely, he would. Always appreciate the time. Thank you, Brian.
Have a good day.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN.